146. October 19th, 1980. You look at one spatiotemporal continuum and another spatiotemporal continuum, and you see that they are one. They do not merely resemble each other, nor are they just tangent. They are the same thing in terms of some underlying essence. The quantum leap in brain function is when you go from thinking, these two spatiotemporal continua resemble each other, to they are one and the same, expressed at two places and two times. And you can only do this if you have experienced anamnesis. Because if you have not recollected, recovered, you can go no further than seeing that the two continua resemble each other. You cannot make the leap, which is up out of the spatiotemporal universe, because within our spatiotemporal universe, it is impossible that USA 1974 and Rome AD 45 could be one and the same. How could they be? They are at two times and two places. The only way they could be one and the same would be if time and space were somehow not real. Or put another way, if something about the two continua themselves were not real. That is, if Rome was not Rome, USA was not USA, but both were a third thing, the same thing. This is why I call it a meta-abstraction. USA 1974 and Rome AD 45 are two ways of looking at the same thing, two aspects of the same thing. And the only way you are ever going to realize this is if you literally actually see the two of them superimposed, commingled. And this will only happen if you experience anamnesis. And you will only experience this anamnesis if something stimulates, releases, actually, your blocked memory. I am saying 1 plus 1 equals 2 to people who are saying 1 apple plus 1 apple equals 2 apples. 1 table plus 1 table equals 2 tables. It's not their fault. I'm sorry, but the difference between my meta-abstraction as a brain function and their abstracting their brain function is that great. I'm lucky. Because of the sodium pentothal and the Christian fish sign, my blocked memory of my prenatal life was disinhibited. After making the initial leap in meta-abstracting, my brain drew conclusion after conclusion, day after day, and I saw world more and more in terms of conceptual or morphological arrangement, and less in terms of the spatiotemporal. I continued to abstract reality more and more, based on the hierarchy of realms, each higher one possessing more unity and ontology than the lower, that Plotinus describes. In a way, I feel really bitter, because I can't tell anyone or convince anyone of what I saw. I'm afraid Vallis won't convince anyone. I feel like joining them and saying, when I played my recording of the Mahler Eighth last night, the performance was a lot better than when I played that recording last week. They'd think I was a lunatic. That's how I feel about them, in a way. 149. October 20th, 1980. I finally see the source of my confusion, which I will herewith straighten out, and then, God willing, let it rest. The structure or mechanism of 2374 was Platonist, Neoplatonist anamnesis, precisely as Plato described it. It has to do with prenatal memories recovered and a form realm that is not spatiotemporal, but is morphologically arranged. However, the content of the anamnesis is, contrarily, Christian. More, the form eidos involved is a Christian one, the secret revolutionary early Christians against Rome. And, because this is the nature of the Platonic archetype recurring again and again throughout linear time and space, so in a sense, two mutually contradictory religious systems seem to be proved by 2374, Christianity and Neoplatonism. My identity in terms of the form world is Christian. My knowledge of that identity comes to me via the structure of the Neoplatonism world order. This is what has caused all the confusion. For example, the reincarnation involved is Neoplatonist, and can only be understood in terms of myself as a form, with each incarnation as an instance of that form in the spatio-temporal flux world. It is me against the black iron prison again and again, wherein I am a secret Christian, and the black iron prison is, so to speak, Rome, at different times and different places. There is no room in Christianity for reincarnation, and no hierarchy of realms, such as Plotinus describes, and no anamnesis and meta-abstracting, such as Plato describes. However, there is no mention or indication in Platonism, Neoplatonism, or Pythagoras of a secret revolutionary Christian movement pitted against the empire. As long as I pursued the Christian element, I got nowhere in figuring out what happened in 2374 and how it happened. I had been swamped by apostolic Christian material in terms of my identity, role, and knowledge. But none of this explained what happened and how, unless I was willing to settle for a miracle performed by the grace of God, by divine providence, which I was not willing to settle for. So, if I'm interested in reconstructing apostolic, i.e., genuine Christianity, and my identity in its struggle against Rome, then I should go toward that. But much more, I want to know what happened and how, and I now know that. Interestingly, the system that is proved to be correct is Platonism and Neoplatonism, e.g., reincarnation, the form world, whereas Christianity is shown only to be my identity role, my commitment. Therefore, I must affirm Christianity, the authentic apostolic form, as my orientation, in fact, my historic role. But it remains a matter of faith and personal identity. Whether it is veridical, I can't say. Philosophically and metaphysically, Platonism and Neoplatonism, in its basic elements, is verified. Were it not true, my experience of 2374 could not have occurred. I might have discovered other forms than the Black Iron Prison, what I call other narratives. However, this is the one which defines me, opposition against the central tyranny, expressed over and over again. This goes a long way toward explaining the strange basic schism in me, which finds expression, for example, in Scanner, its basic plot. It explains my twin parallel opposing views of Christianity. On the one hand, I feel myself to be a Christian, and on the other, I view Christians and Christianity with abhorrence and contempt. It would seem that half of me is devoted to the wisdom religions of classic Greece, which is why I enjoy the pre-Socratics so much. And yet another part of me is led back again and again to the New Testament. Zwei Seele wohnen ach in meiner Brust. Note. German. Obscure. Two cells. Seele. Live in my chest. End note. I really am two people, one of them Christian, the other pagan. As a result, I am forced to function while holding two mutually exclusive views, which, as F. Scott Fitzgerald says, is the mark of the true artist. I must go on being a Christian, acting out the role of genuine revolutionary apostolic Christian as a strategy in order to overthrow the black iron prison, which I detest. But that is what Christianity is for me, a strategy. I know all the time that I am a secret, authentic, revolutionary Christian. That it is Platonism and Neoplatonism that's objectively true. But the Platonist and Neoplatonist has no revolutionary drive. He will not change society, the world, to bring on the kingdom. Therefore, I must live as if Christianity, genuine Christianity, were true. Strange. 161. October 21st, 1980. The strangest, most eerie thought just struck me. If USA 1974 and Rome AD 45 are two spatio-temporal aspects of a common essence, they as aspects, if superimposed, would clash, not blend. This, despite the common essence. I don't know why I know this, but I do. But if it's really Rome AD 45, then they would blend, because the percipient would see that USA 1974 is Rome AD 45. What I have been calling a superimposition is more like a metamorphosis. A certain building is a building in Syria in the first century AD. Reality is seen under the aspect of Rome AD 45, the Holy Land, as if reverting. I noticed palm trees and sand, the warm wind, the relaxing people, like a scene in ancient Syria. 1.69. I think that just now by linking Plato's anamnesis and form world with Dionysus and the greater mysteries, and the Christian Eucharist to Dionysus and the greater mysteries, which links Christian Eucharist to Plato's anamnesis and form world, which renders the spatio-temporal world irreal, thus abolishing the power of astral determinism over you, which is the basic task of religion, because then the splintered soul implodes and again is divine and immortal and knows it. I succeeded. 1.72. October 22, 1980. As of late last night, my emotions, affective self, moved into sync with my intellect as engaged in this exegesis. And the result was that I surveyed a world picture of such bleakness that it was for a time beyond my capacity to bear. I saw and understood suffering, not just intellectually, not just emotionally, but fully, with complete comprehension. Today I have thought about it, and the only attitude that can or should be brought to bear is a stoic one. In fact, a heroic one, a facing of this bleakness unflinchingly, with no attempt to flee from it as a vision or existentially, as a way of being in the world. It is a view of the weary wheel of Buddhism. It is the Buddha's view of absolute suffering and the need not to be reborn, to get off the wheel. Each creature is born, suffers, dies, is born again forever and ever, because the world soul, there is just one soul, and it has fragmented into billions of bits, made the primordial and primary mistake of taking the spatio-temporal realm as real, thus plunging itself into enslavement and multiplicity. For a few, there is a way out. Discovery that the spatio-temporal world is not real, an ascent back up into unity and freedom. But only for a few bits, sparks, is this possible. The enormous mass of fragments will remain caught forever, unless some final great savior comes here and frees us en masse. I hope this will happen, but I doubt it. Every fly with a missing leg, every cat beleaguered by fleas, every human fearing economic want, the endless wheel turns for all of us, and it turns forever, in this irreal time we have fallen victim to. The saying that is uttered in secret rites, to the effect that we men are in a sort of prison, and that one ought not to loose himself from it, nor yet to run away, seems to me something great and not easy to see through. But this at least, I think, is well said, that it is the gods who care for us, and we men are one of the possessions of the gods. So says Plato, referring to the Pythagoreans. Everything is contained here, the vision and the stance, and finally, what may be the only solace that can be held out, that the gods care for us because we are their possessions. This paragraph will have to do if I am to be saved from the vision I have seen. And it is meant to save. It is Plato's great mind coming to bear on the situation, with full knowledge of the reality of the situation. The Greek equipoise that Apollo exemplified, that Attic calm to which I must return, or I am destroyed. Premise: the primordial fall was caused by us, not our ancestors, making the error of taking the spatio-temporal realm to be real. 1. In 274, I saw that the spatio-temporal realm was not real. 2. Therefore, I reversed the original fall, which is doing much more than remembering, by anamnesis, the reality of the form world, the universals. What I realized last night is that I, as a soul, splintered up in fragments through space and time, literally exploded through space and time, in incarnation after incarnation, my unity shattered. This is the weary wheel of the Orphics. This realization is terrible, because even though I reversed the effects of the fall for myself, I can see the dreadful condition of the others of us, born again and again. But this is temporal talk. It is irreal. Splintered is the correct term. Now the results of not recognizing tattvamasi seem actually sinister, since you literally are other life forms, other humans, and other creatures. You as primordial soul are splintered, exploded over thousands of years and thousands of miles. Tattvamasi is not a luxury for the languid philosopher or the special mystic. It is essential in the reversal of a primordial fall, our taking the spatio-temporal realm as real. Recollection as recollection, calling one's splintered, scattered parts in to a center. The primordial explosion reversed as a calling back together, a sort of teleological implosion, as if time were running backward. 183. Rats, I'm rediscovering things that I already knew, that are, in fact, the basis of my system. I am too tired. I must quit for a time and rest. 184. Probably the wisest view is to say the truth, like the self, is splintered up over thousands of miles and years. Bits are found here and there, then and now, and must be recollected. Bits appear in the Greek naturalists, in Pythagoras, Plato, Parmenides, Heraclitus, Neoplatonism, Zoroastrianism, Gnosticism, Taoism, Mani, Orthodox Christianity, Judaism, Brahmanism, Buddhism, Orphism, the other mystery religions. Each religion or philosophy or philosopher contains one or more bits, but the total system interweaves it into falsity. So each as a total system must be rejected, and none is to be accepted at the expense of all the others, e.g., I am a Christian or I follow Mani. This alone, in itself, is a fascinating thought. Here in our spatio-temporal world, we have the truth, but it is splintered, exploded, like the Ida, over thousands of years and thousands of miles, and, as I say, must be recollected, as the self or soul or eidos must be. This is my task. In that case, each given system is in itself part of the enslaving snare of delusion. In other words, as soon as I avow one philosopher or system, e.g. Spinoza or Schopenhauer or Kant or Anaxagoras or Parmenides or Gnosticism, I have become again or more ensnared, as I am by this spatio-temporal world itself. It is as if the eidos of truth is exploded and splintered like all the Ida, and all the selves and souls. But what else could you expect here in realm number 4? Since everything real is here only in discrete bits. Of course, this means that I can never come up with the whole true complete explanation answer. I can recollect and recollect, do better and better, but never completely make unified the eidos of truth. Yet in 374, when I meta-abstracted, a great deal of the eidos of truth was revealed to me. However, alas, I did not understand it then and do not yet. Look, I may be onto something here, that in realm number 4, it is impossible to recollect any given eidos, including that of a true verbal informational picture analog of reality. That, in fact, the true informational analog will be exploded over thousands of miles and thousands of years like all other Ida. Such is the situation here in the spatio-temporal realm. This is one of its drawbacks among many. Fascinating, In that case, no wonder I haven't been able to match my 2374 experience to any religion or any philosopher. Yet many seem in part to apply. The truth is splintered. Note: just as the manifestation of phallus is one of organizations, patterns of meaning, neural networks, and the collapse of temporal and spatial boundaries, that is, just as phallus is a revelation of hyperconnections, so too now works the radiated mind of Dick himself. Dick has, in effect, become a supercomparativist, and so he is able to draw connections and organize disparate patterns of information, like phallus, through huge stretches of space and time. And why not? Paradoxically, phallus works through history and yet exists as a hyperdimensional presence, outside the box of history. This abolishing of time is especially evident in the history of religions, and more precisely, comparative mystical literature, to whose patterns and similarities Dick is powerfully drawn. In this particular passage, the double-edged sword of the comparative imagination is evident. Bits of truth can indeed be found everywhere, but the full truth is nowhere to be found. Religious systems are both true as approximations or reflections and false as final and complete answers at the same time. Today, a much simpler form of this double notion is crystallized in the oft-heard quip, "I am spiritual but not religious." Such a position is often demeaned as fuzzy, as narcissistic, as New Agey. In fact, it constitutes a quiet but radical rejection of religion in all its dogmatic and dangerous forms. J.J.K. End note. This would explain, too, why the sacerdotal power is found in bits in, say, the alley, for the same reason. It is exploded ubiquitously, in addition to the places I listed above, where I found bits of the truth, I should add, the Hermetics and the Kabbalah and quantum mechanics. Could it be said that every now and then an additional bit is reticulated, so to speak, revealed? So 2374 could contain one or more elements of the truth that are new? In one area, the evangelical Christians are correct, in regard to Bible prophecy. The Bible does contain archetypes that print out over and over again, and are, some of them, applicable to present-day times. I need only recall Acts and the dream material in Tears, the latter specifically being either from Daniel or Revelation. So one great realization is, the map is exploded, the map is splintered, and perhaps the map is not complete. See Hussey on the map paradox, the vicious regression. Note: Edward Hussey's The Pre-Socratics, 1972. Any map that includes a true representation of itself within its borders must lead to an infinite procession of maps within maps. End note.